everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on what is considered National Radio Day. It may even be called International Radio Day, but anyway, it's Radio Day. So happy Radio Day. John is on the other side of the glass, and he is anchoring. Well, no, he's not anchoring, but he's holding down the fort, engineering and producing our program on this Tuesday, August 20th, 2024. We're now a bit beyond 14 and a half years with the radio show. So by my reckoning, we'll begin year 15 in January. We're coming to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, part of the Bustos Media growing presence in Tucson. This radio station, 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. When we do our telephone interviews, and we're going to do one right off the bat today, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line and welcome back to the program Courtney Sloniker. She is the executive director of the American Red Cross, serving Southern Arizona. Courtney, how are you?
Hey, Bill. Happy Radio Day to all of you.
Yeah, happy Radio Day. You know, I heard we had a shortage, and you can tell our listeners, is it the blood donors in the O category? Where's the shortage? And I understand it's quite critical.
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that up, Bill. We actually, the Red Cross and many other blood banks experience blood shortages during the summertime. People are traveling. Our school systems are out. So high schools, colleges are out on summer break. And they make up about 20% of our blood supply. And so when summertime rolls around, historically we have seen these blood shortages. And there is a desperate need for type O blood, both O positive and O negative. As many of our listeners know, O negative is a universal blood product. That's a product that many physicians might be reaching for in a trauma situation or in a situation where they don't have enough time to type the patient. So they'll pull that universal product and use that to save that patient's life. But this shortage, it is critical, and we do see these shortages, kind of summer over summer, because people are busy. Hopefully they're out there enjoying getting a break, but a reminder for the listeners, cancer patients, traumas, they don't take a summer break. So it's incumbent upon all of us to support that community health by rolling up our sleeve and donating blood.
And your organization has quite a large footprint, Courtney. Tell our listeners about how many communities you're serving.
Yeah, so here in Southern Arizona, we serve 7 counties. I like to say we're the bottom smile of Arizona. We go all the way up to La Paz, Yuma, down to Cochise County, Santa Cruz, Graham, Greenlee, and of course Pima County. But as a national blood bank, we provide over 40% of the nation's blood supply, and here in Southern Arizona, we provide over 90% of the blood supply. And so the beauty of a national blood bank is that while Southern Arizona, we might be doing great in our collections because we're not facing hurricanes or massive wildfires that impact our ability to collect. But we're able to support our communities across the country and vice versa. If Southern Arizona experiences a shortage, those blood products will be moved around the country where they're needed most. And a lot of people don't know that about the American Red Cross. While you donate here, you're supporting local, but you're also supporting people in need and great need across the country.
Courtney, what is the shelf life of a blood product?
Yeah, that's a great question. So blood does have a shelf life. So if you donate whole blood, it has about a 42-day shelf life. And if you donate platelets, it actually has an extremely short shelf life of about 5 days. Keep in mind that once you donate a product, for about 48 hours, it's going to be in processing and testing to make sure that blood product is safe for a patient. And so 48 hours is used, again, to test and process the product to be ready for the hospitals to use. And so for platelets, we have 5 days to get that to patients. And, for cancer patients, burn victims, it's critical that we have those platelets on the shelf. The platelet donation process is a little bit more entailed. But again, when you think about that short shelf life, it's critical that we have a continuous supply of donors.
And I know you have your own, you have a, and thank goodness you do, a pool of people who are, bless their hearts, who regularly donate. But part of your job, and I know you want to get that point out here, is you want to expand that pool as much as possible, correct, Courtney?
Absolutely. So about 30% of the population is eligible to donate, but only somewhere between 3 and 10% actually roll up their sleeves. And what the reason why many people don't donate is because they haven't been asked. And so, Bill, you're doing the asking for us. We're so grateful that you have us on your show regularly to ask the community to donate blood. If you have questions about the donation process, maybe you're afraid of needles, you just don't understand the process, give us a call. We'll walk you through it. We have amazing phlebotomists that try to make the donor experience as enjoyable as possible, knowing that at the end of that small time commitment, we're talking, 45 minutes to do a whole blood donation, you'll have greatly impacted someone's life and someone's family. And that, you can't buy that. So
you mentioned that 30%, what are some of the qualifications that would check all the boxes, Courtney Sloniker?
Yeah, so generally you need to be in good health on the day of your donation. So if you're experiencing any type of like cold-like symptoms, stomach ache, you name it, we want you to be healthy on the day of your donation. If you don't know your blood type, that's okay. You can still donate. After your first donation, we'll actually tell you your blood type. If you're on certain medications, you can always go to redcrossblood.org and look at our FAQs and see if you're taking any medications that might preclude you from donating. But, a lot of the all of the eligibility requirements are set by the FDA. So every single blood bank across America follows these policies. But a lot of them have changed over the years. So, for example, people that got a tattoo, you would get deferred for a period of somewhere between 9 months and a year or more. Hmm. A lot of those eligibility things have changed as new evidence comes out from the different blood banks and working with and advocating with the FDA. So a lot of people say, oh, I'm not eligible because I lived in Europe in the 80s and that was kind of the height of the mad cow disease. Well, that indefinite deferral has actually changed with the FDA, and a lot of people that were permanently deferred are now eligible to donate. So the best thing to do, because those eligibility requirements, there's a lot, but you can go to redcrossblood.org, give us a call, 1-800-RED-CROSS. We'll answer any of your questions and also see if you're eligible to donate. And it's important to note, you can donate every 56 days for whole blood, and for platelets, you can donate about every 2 weeks. And so it's a very small chunk of time out of the year to really create a stable blood supply for our community and support people in great need.
The donations are done in one location, or do you do them with mobile units?
We actually do both, Bill. So here in Southern Arizona, we've got two donation centers, one at La Cholla and Ina, and the other one's at Broadway and Kolb. That's where we collect platelets and the whole blood products. But then we have hundreds of community partners, faith-based groups, businesses, you name it. These community partners actually host mobile blood drives all year round. So we have a combination of blood collections, both mobile units. You'll see that blood bus in the community, or you'll see a business that sets it up in their lobby, you name it, or you can visit one of our donation centers. They're going pretty much 365 all year round. The collection of blood doesn't stop for holidays. And the cool thing about the Red Cross Blood Donor app, if you have a smartphone, you can download the Red Cross Blood Donor app, type in your zip code, and it will pull up all the blood drives closest to you and most convenient to you, and it'll show you all the appointment slots that are open. So it makes donating really easy. Carve a little time out of your day, maybe take a break from the hustle and bustle, and do something good for the community.
All right. Courtney Sloniker, let's talk about the contact information.
Yeah, so visit us at redcrossblood.org, or you can call us 1-800-RED-CROSS, or download that Red Cross Blood Donor app, and it'll give you all the information you need on that. Again, you use your zip code, and you can book an appointment pretty easily on the Red Cross Blood Donor app. And Bill, can I just do one quick shout out to my bonus dad, Happy Radio Data, to Ed Alexander?
Okay, it's great. Of course, our friend Ed Alexander, who's done such a great job in this community, legendary broadcaster, and he's meant so much to you, and I think he's working with you, isn't he, over there at the American Red Cross?
Yeah, I don't know how we worked that out, but he's volunteering with us. He's donating blood and spreading the message. So we're really excited to have him. And I know he's still supporting all the broadcasters out there, but we're grateful for all of you in the radio business that share these important messages for the community.
Thanks so much, Courtney. And say hello to Ed for us, okay?
I will, Bill. Thanks for having us.
Thanks very much. All right, Courtney Sloniker, the executive director of the American Red Cross here serving Southern Arizona. Shelley Fishman's with me in studio, and he's kind of going sideways today with the thumb. That means somewhat up, somewhat down. We'll talk more after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelley via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how could I forget? Today is Tucson's birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Tucson.
Yeah, so I was talking so much about National Radio Day, but today is the 249th birthday of the kind of the European founding, because people have lived here for thousands of years.
Sure.
But this was 249 years today. Happy birthday, Tucson. And now the planning will begin for what could be a pretty nice celebration.
Sounds to me like a good excuse for a party.
Yeah, for the coming up in a year will be the 250th. I don't know if they're doing much partying on Wall Street. Seems like it's kind of
flat
day.
Yeah, we're down less than 0.2%.
Oh, boy.
In each of the three major indices. But that's on top of, so last Tuesday, we were, kind of directionless. But between last Tuesday and today, the markets have gone nuts.
Yeah.
Just wonderful. I mean,
we had that really bad patch there a couple of days. Yeah.
But between the retail sales numbers that came out and also the inflation report that came out last week, the markets just ate it up. And in fact, there were even some pundits talking about maybe not waiting till the September meeting of the Fed and getting some interest relief. That's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
But they're still talking about a pretty good possibility that in September, Powell will drop things a half a point rather than just a quarter of a point. At any rate, markets just love it.
Well, the number, what we have been seeing and what the Fed has been seeing has got to make the Fed think that now really is the time, at least for the quarter percent drop.
You know, the Fed should have declared victory
a
year ago.
I agree.
They didn't. The inflation report that came out last week, and I'm going to use both the inflation report that most people think of as the right report or the Fed's preferred report. They were both up 0.2% in the month of July. So that's between the beginning of July and the end of July. Now, you annualize that, that's 2.4% annualized. And if you look at that, that is so close to the Fed's target of 2% that, declare victory.
Yeah.
If you take a look at the last 3 months, in other words, don't annualize the number, which brings us into just below 3% for the year. But if you take the last 3 months, which have been exceptionally good, and multiply that by four, you're down at like 2.5%. You know, that's a victory. Now, you and I can have a discussion as to whether or not the Fed has had anything to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, with that reduction in inflation, or is most of it simply supply chain problems that are clearing up? But in any case, in seeing these numbers, we do not have an inflation problem right now, though we certainly have some remaining issues with higher prices that will probably remain where they are, but not go up any higher.
So when you have declining interest rates, as an investor, you will be looking, and you should be looking, to be aggressive in locking in some of these interest rates at this point.
Yeah, before they go down.
Yeah.
There are ways of locking in interest rates. One way to lock in interest rates is to buy bonds that have different maturity dates, hold on to those bonds till they mature, and then ladder them out over a period of time, because whatever is the interest rate that's stamped on that bond is the interest rate you're going to get. So if you can get a 5 or 6 or 7% bond and a series of them over, say, a 3 or 4 year period of maturity, then you can lock in those rates. There is a caution. One of those cautions is that if you do that in a non-retirement account, you are going to pay taxes every quarter, or every year, of course, on the the interest that you're getting, and you're also going to pay a fee for purchasing the bonds.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that in, say, an annuity that is based on interest rates, you can lock in, you know, we've seen some really incredible numbers, like 7-8%, and that's a locked-in number, and you don't have to pay the increases there until you start to take the money out. However, if you do it in an IRA, you know, those taxes are going to be deferred until, you know, you start taking the money out, and with a requirement that you start taking it out at 71.5. The flip side of that, interestingly, is an article by Jeff Sommer in this past Sunday's New York Times. He says, the end of fabulous money market returns is near.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is, you know, with the likelihood that interest rates are going to go down, take a look at your portfolio, because this might be a good time to rebalance and get rid of your fixed income stuff mm-hmm. for a while
mm-hmm.
Before it goes down. So there's lots of ways, you know, discuss this with your advisor, discuss it with three advisors if you possibly can before you make some decisions.
Shelley, there's a letter to the editor that looks like you may have penned it, but of course you didn't. It's from Donald Brown, who lives in the foothills, and letter to the editor in the Arizona Daily Star is pretty much what you've been saying for actually a couple of years on this program, that the Democrats really have done better with the economy than the Republicans.
Well, it was nice to see this.
And he goes on and cites a lot of the same bullet points that you do.
Absolutely. So, you know, the real question here is, why aren't Democrats singing this song
at their convention?
Every single, you know, hilltop.
Yeah.
But you rarely hear it. Look, anytime you take a look at economic numbers going back 50, 60, 70 years, you have to make some decisions about how you evaluate those numbers, especially when you are evaluating the economic performance against, say, a president's performance. So you have to make some decisions, and I don't know what decisions Donald Brown made in putting these numbers together, whether he simply looked at those numbers published somewhere else or he actually worked the numbers. If you take a look at stock market performance, stock market is always forward-looking. So you have to make a decision. Excuse me. Am I going to measure the performance of an administration from Election Day, from January 1st or January 20th, when that president takes office? In either case, it doesn't make a big difference. So what he's come up with here is that any way you look at it, the Democrats have been better at stock market performance than the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know it's anti-intuitive, but, you know, that's the truth. When you're looking at economic performance, however, you have to scratch your head and go, now, wait a second. A president gets into office. It takes him at least a year to get a program through Congress and get things signed off on. So, and then it probably takes some time before the plans that those programs, you know, were in those the plans in those programs actually have an effect on the economy. So when I worked the numbers, I worked them delayed a year or delayed 2 years. The substantive results after having done that were essentially, you know, a rounding error. And so I came up with numbers, for instance, that GDP growth for Democrats during the period from the end of the war, World War II, till the end of the third year of the Biden administration was up 10.76%, whereas the Republicans were up 6.82%. So there's a 4-point swing there. When I take a look at real GDP growth overall in Mr. Brown's analysis, it is... GDP growth
Mr. Brown's analysis was 4. Democrats 4.3
and Republicans 2.4. So it's not quite as wide a swing.
Yeah.
But it's still
very close.
So when you look at this and then you take a look at, you have to ask why. What is it that Democrats are doing that Republicans are doing right, that Republicans are doing less right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, Republicans haven't been bad for the economy. They just haven't been as good as Democrats. And what I come up with always is that the Democrats tend to look at longer term policy decisions,
okay,
whereas Republicans tend to look at what can I do for companies tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
So there's also the tax policy issues that are very important. Republicans have persistently decreased taxes, mostly on higher earning Americans. And that has resulted in a wealth gap, which is now beginning to really affect people's attitudes toward our country as a whole. And, there's a lot more to be said about that. But that wealth gap is a hugely important factor in how we think about economic policy.
Democrats need to do a better job messaging on this.
Oh, you bet.
All right. Shelley, see you next week, okay?
Thank you, Bill, very much.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Three-star general, retired General Jeff Buchanan is next.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Tuesday edition. This portion presented by Green Things and Green Things in Zocalo Village, their sister business located at 3384 East River Road. A lot of people have had storm damage to their gardens just last night. We had some five inch hail. No, not quite 5 inch, but we had about 1 inch hail over in the Tanca River Valley area, Tanca Verde River area. So that means when the plants get hit by that hail, it can do some damage. And I speak from experience. Last summer, we got really hit, and luckily, knock on wood, have not had a big issue this year so far at the Buckmaster Bungalow. But where I'm going with this, you can, and I strongly suggest, a visit to Green Things when you replace those lovely items in your garden. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things in their 53rd year of business. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're trying to bring in Lieutenant General Jeff Buchanan every 4 to 6 weeks, and we've been pretty good about that. He's a great guest. General Buchanan retired after a 37-year Army career. That was back in 2019. In addition to commanding the 6,000 troops on the southwest border, he led the military operation in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria. He did 4 tours in Iraq and 1 in Afghanistan. He's a graduate of the University of Arizona, and it's homegrown program, the ROTC program. General Buchanan advises Homeland Security. He's a commissioner, one of 5 commissioners on the Arizona Game and Fish board. He's an advisor for Vet Force Foundation, a foundation for veterans. And he's a volunteer deputy sheriff in his home county, which is Santa Cruz County. General lives on a small ranch outside of Patagonia. General, how are you?
Bill, I'm great. I just want to, I don't know if you've talked about it at all, but I know it's been just over a year since you lost your dear wife, Ann.
Well, yeah, it was the anniversary was Saturday. Ann died August 17th, 2023. It was kind of a difficult weekend.
Yeah,
and I've been really transparent
here
on the show, on Facebook. I've got about 5,000 people happy to have friends on Facebook, and they've kind of followed my journey. And the 1 year anniversary, and I still, it seems so unreal that I have outlived my wife, and it's very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I the thought that comes to mind to me is a lot of times when somebody's close to us, they lose somebody or they undergo a great tragedy in their life, we don't know what to say or do.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, because we don't know what to say or do, we can avoid that person. And that's absolutely the worst thing somebody could do.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'd just like to say, I mean, having lost soldiers in combat, I remember just going down to see those platoons right after there's a bad incident and just saying, look, guys, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I can't possibly bring you comfort, but I'm here for you.
That is really, thank you for bringing that up. Because it's awkward for a lot of people. They really don't know what to say. Saying you're sorry is one thing, and that's fine. Just saying, hey, I don't know what to say, but I'm here for you. Blessings your way, or prayers, or good karma, I hope, comes to you. I hope you find peace. That's all you need to do.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And yeah, what we had kind of a little get together, some close friends, kind of a, the inner circle, about six people on Saturday, and it was very uplifting, actually. So, but thank you for bringing that up. And now we begin year two without Ann, and kind of build my life around that hole in my life. But I'm doing the very best I can, and that's all anybody can ask for, right, General?
Yes, sir.
All right. Couple of things. And, you know, while we're talking, actually, and I didn't prompt you to bring that up about Ann, and I do thank you for it, but looking at the Ukraine situation and the mental illness that NPR had a piece about, they're just having so much difficulty, that country right now, dealing with post-traumatic stress. Huge issue.
Yeah, I did not see the NPR piece, but it's a real issue, and obviously combat can be one of those forms of stress, not the only one. Rape, I think, is a very common instance that can cause post-traumatic stress. I'm glad you didn't use the D part to that. I've got a great friend who had experienced post-traumatic stress and struggled for a lot of years, but his big thing is, look, this is not a disorder. This is not something that is unnatural. When your body experiences this amount of stress, you respond to it. And, you know, what we hope is that if we prepare for these adverse situations and then deal with them in a healthy way, we might be able to use them as opportunities for growth.
Mm-hmm.
But because you react the way you do, that's not a disorder. That's perfectly natural.
Because if it's a disorder, everybody that goes into combat would basically have the disorder. It's nothing that soldier has done wrong.
Yep, right. And I think that's something
and
else.
And when they hear the disorder, it makes it sound like, oh, I've got some disease.
Well, that also can make people reluctant to seek help when they need it. And that's an unfortunate side effect of a label. Anyway, thanks for not using the D part to that.
With the situation in Ukraine, and they have made, I guess you'd call it, limited progress in taking back some of the territory, what do you see, how do you see this developing? Do you think this is maybe a bargaining chip, that they're maybe working, thinking maybe this could be something that if they do go to the peace table?
Well, I think, certainly if they now control actual Russian territory,
mm-hmm.
that could in fact lead as part of some negotiation at some point down the road to an exchange with Russia for Ukrainian territory that Russia controls. So that's a possibility. I doubt that that's the only motivation for it. You know, partly what the Ukrainians are trying to do is seize and then retain the initiative. And by controlling the tempo and controlling what the fight is about and where, they can control, you know, a lot of the equation when it comes to the fight. If they force the Russians to react to what the Ukrainians are doing, then in many ways they're in control. And that, I'm sure, is also a factor for what they chose to do.
Mm-hmm. As far as the peace negotiations going on in Israel, that war now has gone on since October,
right.
And longer than a lot of people would like, and a lot of people didn't think it would go on this long. I'm kind of surprised Iran has not had some kind of response to what's been going on, but I think the United States has been pretty strong in sending some really big-time signals, moving a carrier over there and some deployments.
Well, Iran is clearly, Iran has got its hands in every one of these conflicts.
They've got their proxies
in the Middle East, all over
the place.
Between Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Houthi rebels in Yemen, they are all fed and controlled by Iran, at mm-hmm. least to some extent. Once in a while, those groups will march to their own tune. But same thing goes for the groups we were dealing with in Iraq for many, many years. You know, the dominant enemy, if you will, of U.S. forces when we were initially there after we overthrew Saddam Hussein was Al-Qaeda and similar groups rooted in the Sunni side of Islam, Islamic fundamentalist groups, but Sunni Arabs, not Shia Arabs. And that changed over time. Being killed by, being engaged by, and killed by Iranian-backed proxies, such as Kitab Hezbollah, Asab al-Haq, these various groups that Iran was
arming,
providing direct support, material support, training, and directly killing many, many of our soldiers. So they are engaged, and they're involved. It's just not in an overt way.
Let's take a break right here. General Buchanan sticks around. We'll do a second segment with him. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Tuesday. Be right back.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our friend Jeffrey Buchanan, retired 3-star Army general, is with us, and he keeps himself extremely busy, not only being one of the 5 members of the Arizona Game and Fish Commission, but he also enjoys a trip that he's taken for the past 20 years?
No, 5 years, just since I retired.
All right. Yeah, 20 wouldn't be. He's taken a trip up to Alaska, out of Homer, Alaska, and they go out on the boat every day, do some halibut, some salmon. You just showed me a picture of the biggest halibut I think I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. That thing's like, what, 70 or 80 pounds?
80 pounds.
That's a lot of fillets that you can
cover. We actually let one go this year that was about 250 pounds.
What?
Yeah, and, the thing, if you think about it, for the health of the fishery, those anything that's over about 50 pounds are all females. Huh. And the bigger the fish, the more eggs. So if you catch a really big one, it's important for the health of the fishery to consider at least letting them go.
Uh-huh.
I've been going up for the last 5 years. My best friend from when I was in third grade, we stayed in contact all these years.
You're
from 1969. And he's been he's a charter boat fisherman in Homer, Alaska, and has been for 30 years.
When does the season begin?
It's usually about May.
Okay.
May to the end of September.
Uh-huh.
You can catch halibut there year-round, but it gets pretty tough in the wintertime. But my buddy asked me if his deckhand had to go back to college, and he asked me if I wanted to come and do that. And so I've been going up there to work at sometimes where he really needed me to work. This year I was more of a deckhand mentor. Mm-hmm. I did some deckhanding, but mostly helped train a new one. So it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And
How far out do they go from port?
The longest trip we'll go is about 2.5 hours one way.
Okay.
Not too bad. Yeah. But usually we're catching tremendous fish, halibut and salmon within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's I'm going to be 65 this month. That's hard on your body. I'll just say it is really hard. So it requires some train up and then a lot of stretching and yoga in the morning every day before I go out.
Uh-huh.
It's tough work.
Obviously, I guess you eat a lot of salmon and halibut.
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
It must be incredibly good eating.
It is. And I know a lot of different ways to make it. It's great.
Really?
And I bring home, as you would imagine, I bring home a lot of fish and mm-hmm. share it with the kids.
Uh-huh.
Everything.
So your day would begin at the crack of dawn.
Yeah, I mean, typically I get up at 4.
The light comes real early in the summer up in Alaska.
It does. Yeah. But I spend almost an hour stretching and getting myself ready before I go out. And then, every day, as a deckhand, I'm getting the boat ready to go. And then when we get ready to fish, I teach people how to catch a fish, bait mm-hmm. their hooks, get their lines going for them. And when they catch big ones, I help them get all those big fish into the boat. And then on the way back in, I clean all the fish, fillet everything while we're moving back to the port.
Wow.
And then the end of the day, I got to clean up the boat. Mm. And, including the head, which for me is good for my humility. Mm-hmm. It's a mm-hmm. wonderful way to spend part of a summer every year.
How about mental preparation when you were in your tours overseas? Have you been one for really preparing yourself mentally for the day? In other words, some kind of when you get up in the morning, some kind of a routine, which, by the way, I am doing right now. I've been into meditation. I've been doing 15 to 20 minutes every morning at about 5:30. And just the discipline of it, I have found helpful. And I'm just curious about whether you've done any of that kind of thing.
I have. I used to have a friend, and this is not so much just about, I do really believe strongly in a morning routine. But aside from that, even in combat, read, eat, sleep, think, and work out. All mm-hmm. those things. Mm-hmm. Do a little bit of reading, a little bit of thinking about what's important, the long-term things rather than just the urgent tasks. You got to eat properly. You got to get enough sleep, which can be hard to do. You might lose a night of sleep, mm-hmm. but then you got to try to make up for it. And mm-hmm. and then staying in shape throughout. All those things are important and need to be part of any routine.
Mm-hmm. Do you do yoga at all?
I do. Uh-huh. Yeah, one of my sons is he's a hotshot in the Forest Service, but once upon mm-hmm. a time in his life before that, he was a yoga instructor. Mm-hmm. And he actually does it with his fire crew now, but he's taught me some good routines and good stretching, which is always a great way to help limber up the old sore, tired muscles.
What's going on with the border? We're seeing 3 and 4 year declines in arrests right now.
Yeah, I think some policies are coming together. I still think we have some complex issues that we as a country have to decide how we're going to tackle them. We haven't really solved anything. We've been pretty good at dealing with symptoms all along. But I think it starts with making sure that we have a sound immigration policy that everybody supports. We have an ability to, you know, to tax the people who are working here instead of forcing them to come illegally or whatever. But we actually, we ought to track them and tax them. You know, control of the border itself is one thing. The policies, though, can lead to this. If you go back 5 years ago, you know, the dominant group coming across the border was a family unit from Guatemala or El Salvador, and they were seeking, they were moving between the ports, and they were just trying to find a way to make a living. Mm-hmm. Now it's hundreds and thousands of people from China, from Africa, but they're not seeking to evade Border Patrol agents. Actually, they're looking to get caught and turn themselves in right away to claim asylum. So we've got to sort our way through these policies and make sure that we have a sound system that reflects what we really want out of our immigration system.
You know,
system.
One of the 13 items, and there may be less, but it's going to be around a dozen items that folks will be voting on, measures, propositions, is called the Border Security Act. It's Proposition 314 would make it a state crime to illegally cross the border between ports of entry. That's kind of the marquee sentence of the deal. But the federal law already covers that.
Yeah, this is a state proposition,
yeah.
Right? So,
yeah. That, by the way, I understand is dependent. It's written on similar to the one in Texas, but that one's going before the Supreme Court. So,
yeah. I think the issue is this. Right now, you know, security of the country, to include maintenance of sovereignty, customs, border protection, all that, those are federal functions, not state functions. And I don't know exactly for sure what's all behind this, but my assumption is if they make this a state crime to violate the border, then it can be enforced by state authorities as well as federal.
Mm-hmm. And before we let you go, we've got a game and fish item. There's a lawsuit from the Centers for Biological Diversity suing the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Forest Service, trying to block a new road, which is, I believe, less than three miles in the Chiricahuas. And the thinking is that the road would impact the jaguar.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, we do have jaguars here occasionally. They're extremely rare, as you know, in this country.
Are they usually lone visitors?
Yeah, so what we have seen in the last 20 or 30 years is a lot of instances of males, adult males. And the way these large cats, and I don't want to group lions and tigers. I'm talking just mountain lions, jaguars, et cetera. Mm. The way they behave is, you know, the mother raises the young up to a certain age, and then, you know, and then they go out and find their own territory. Well, the males in particular have to push out and get away from other males. So they're constantly either expanding the range or replacing males. And that's, I think, what's been going on. We have had a number of jaguar sightings over the past several years in southeastern Arizona. Of course, historically, they were here.
Yeah, they were.
Ocelots as well. You know, I remember, well, we had jaguars and ocelots in the Huachucas where I grew up from time to time. Not real common. I think for me, the real difference maker would be if we start seeing females north of the border, then you could say that I think logically you could make a strong mm-hmm. case that the range is expanding and returning to where it used to be historically.
Okay, General Buchanan, we have to leave it right there. Always a pleasure to see you. Stay well. Thank you, General.
Thank you, sir.
All right. On behalf of General Buchanan and John, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.